Whenever I first left school and was like many other young fellas, I was really, really keen on cars. I still am. But as someone said to me the other day, they meant it as a joke, but they reminded me, they said, "Oh, you love sporty cars, but you have to drive a minibus." And I know what they meant. But I did love cars, and I still do. And you know, sometimes whenever we bought a car, and I can think of several times when this happened, it happened to me and it happened to individuals as well, other individuals that I know. You bought a car and there were one or two little spots of rust on it. And you thought, well, there's no problem there. I take that in and I'll sand it down and I'll put a wee bit of ice upon on it and that'll do the trick. It'll be like new. And then we got it into the garage. We started our wet and dry paper on it and to get it rubbed down. And the strange thing was that the little spot of rust got bigger and bigger. And then we realized that down underneath, somebody else had already put a lot of ice upon in. And by the time we got all of that, which was bad, sorted out, there wasn't a whole pile left to work upon. You see, what it seemed to be a car with just a few little spots of rust was in fact rotten. It was rotten. And the reason I've mentioned that to you tonight is this, that the appearance in Bible times of this disease that we're talking about here, it appeared first on the skin. Little spots or blemishes, perhaps just little more than a pinhole. White in colour usually, but sometimes they were black or even red. But the thing that we need to remember is this, that while there seemed to be really very little, because all there were those little spots on the skin, this disease called leprosy was deeply seated. Because by the time it got to your skin and was leaving little spots there, it was already deeply rooted in the bones and joints of the body. So when these little spots appear in the skin, what they were really doing was not showing us merely that there's a little blemish here, but they were fearful indication of something that had a very well-rooted existence. And that was leprosy. And as leprosy advances, which it does, sometimes slowly from one stage to another, but always with certain ruin as it did advance. Now when tonight we look at this passage and confine ourselves to the biblical form of the disease, it was a most dreaded disease. It's also right to say that it was a most painful disease. And it was a disease that whenever it had devastated and decimated the body, it brought eventual death. And of course, men and women, it is one of the greatest Bible pictures of sin. In fact, if you take time yourself to look there in the book of Leviticus, the leper was in many respects to look upon himself as a man that was already dead. It's an awful thing. There in Leviticus chapter 13, it says in verse 45, "And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare. And he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean." You see, these things that we've just read about, his clothes being rent, his head being bare, and the covering upon his upper lip, these are three symbols of sorrow for the dead. So therefore you can see that this man with the leprosy was to look upon himself as one who was already dead. Now, whenever we think of sin in the individual man or woman, the Bible speaks of her that lives in sin and pleasure being dead while she yet lives. One time I saw a little tract and it was about this kind of thing, being dead in sin, and it simply was titled The Living Dead. In fact, the Bible tells us that we're born in sin and shaping in iniquity, and shows us consistently that we are dead in sin. And I wonder tonight if you've ever really taken that on board. That setting aside all of the commendable things that you may be as a human being, when God looks upon you regarding this most important matter of your soul and how it is with your soul, if you're still in your sin and your soul has never been saved, then you're dead. Absolutely dead in your sin. And in chapter 8 that we've looked at tonight in Matthew's Gospel, this man with the leprosy, he approached the Lord. And as we see him coming to the Lord, I would like you to look upon him as a picture or a type of the unconverted person coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. See in him a mirror image of yourself. Because what was wrong with him physically points and shows us very vividly what is wrong with man naturally and spiritually. Notice some things about this man then. Notice first of all then the details of his state. Now any of you tonight who know anything about whether it was biblical leprosy or leprosy in modern times, you will know that it is indeed a very foul disease. But it is amazing how even in these modern times, how people will try to hide it. Most Christians in this meeting will have heard of Dr. Bill Woods, who for many, many years served the Lord in the Amazon region and perhaps in other places too, working with leprosy. He was heartbroken when he saw people dying from leprosy and very little being done about it. He went and trained to be a medical doctor and went out there, and he began to work with him and did so, continued that work for many, many years. But there were many. And I know it's all right for us to say it's probably, like a lot of other things, it's easier to pass judgment than to live through a situation. But for many, he found that they would find that these girls, they would be pulling their skirt down low so they wouldn't see their feet. Or there'd be people trying to hide their hands up in their sleeves because their fingers were eaten away. Now that is with modern leprosy, of course. But as it is now, I'm sure it was. I've no doubt it was in Bible times, because in those days you were looked upon. He's dead. Out you get, outside the camp. Cry unclean. Make sure no one comes near you. Your life's over. And therefore we can understand to a certain degree how people would hide this disfiguration, almost to shame, to disclose the fact that they were lepers. But when you think of this man, and you think of the state of this man here, I want you to notice first of all that sense told him that everything was not well. He was a leper. And he knew, men and women, he was a leper. His condition was such that he had come to realize that he was actually in a desperate state. Now if you were to read in Luke's Gospel, this same man in the recording there of this incident, he's described as full of leprosy. Full of leprosy. So there's no escaping that his condition is a critical one. He's known all about the pain. However he tries to hide his disfiguration from others, he can't hide it from himself. And all of these things are constantly reminding him that he is smitten with the awful disease of leprosy. You know, in 2011, men are as proud as ever they were. And pride is enthroned in the hearts of perhaps more people than it has ever been for a long time in this country. And there is a tremendous unwillingness to believe what the Bible says regarding sin. And just as the leper would have tried many times to disguise or to cover up their true situation, men shut out of their minds what the Bible teaches them regarding their true condition and the seriousness of it. The verse we've read many a time, and we do well to do that, it's in Isaiah 1, that is a description of Israel at that time. But it is a very sound description of man in general. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 6. It says, from the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it. You think of yourself now. but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Overall, if we were to comment on that verse, we would say there's something going on here, and it's out of control. It's out of control. There's no binding of it. There's no dealing with it. There's no closing it up, and there's no getting rid of it here. And the sooner men and women come to understand their true standing before the Lord, as pictured here in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 6. I'll read it again. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. There's no goodness in any of us naturally. The Bible says that all our righteousnesses, all of them, are as filthy rags. That's how God looks upon them. And if you've got to the point tonight where you understand that, then that is indeed the first step toward having a remedy applied to your situation. You see, this man, he had the sense. Sense told him that all was not well. Now, there are some tonight, perhaps in this meeting, and certainly we have people in from time to time, and they're in a very similar situation to this man, only spiritually speaking. They have something that needs to be faced up to. It's not very long ago since I heard someone say, and I quote roughly what they said. They were speaking about several terrorists, and they said that we were drinking ourselves to death. We were killing ourselves with drugs, all to try to blot out the awful things that we had done, and nothing was working. The problem was sin. And men and women, nothing works with sin that is of man's making. I think of a person tonight who lives in the mainland, and I'm not going to go into detail, of course, but I remember sitting in that person's house talking to her, and she opened up to me and as her minister and wanted to tell me things which I would never tell to anyone. And she told me those things, but you see, the root problem of all the heartache and the hardship and the disappointment and the discouragement and the feeling worthless, all of that could be traced to sin. I might add sin in the heart of someone who would not face up to it. Would not face up to it. You see, it's deep-rooted, isn't it? Sin is just like the leprosy. It's not just a wee blemish. It's like this old leprosy that was deeply rooted in the joints and bones of men and women. Remember some years ago, someone I knew telling me a story. He'd been speaking to another gentleman who's not a Christian, by the way. And this man was absolutely heartbroken because there was a situation where, and you will understand that this is because of sin. This mother, because of a situation that had arisen in the family, she would not show the same love to her little boy as she did to her two little girls. And she came to where they were and she gave Christmas presents to the two little girls and gave nothing to the little boy. And the man I'm telling you about was on TV, he was totally broken. An older man than me, a good bit. But he's absolutely devastated by how could a woman possibly do that? And I'm not going to give any of the detail of that background there. But you know what the root problem was, men and women? It wasn't simply that she'd rather have girls than boys. The problem was sin. Deep-rooted sin that had to be confronted. And here was a man, and sense told him that all was not well. And that was a good start. But here's a man also, and he genuinely desired healing. If you look at the passage, you'll see that he came to where the Lord was. He was acknowledging by doing that, that without the Lord's help, he was hopeless. He was aware of his state, and he perhaps had thought long and hard about it, and he thought, well, I genuinely want this situation to be dealt with. So I wonder, is that your state tonight? The book of Proverbs, the Bible tells us in chapter 28, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. There are a good number of people who've attended Free Presbyterian Gospel meetings on many occasions, and they've covered their sins for years. Well, God's people are not sinlessly perfect, that's for sure. But we're justified. Justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. By faith in his finished work.
and unconverted people who cover their sin, the Bible says they'll not prosper. In other words, when you think about it very carefully, and this is one way of looking at it, there's no hiding it from the Lord. You'll not hide the true situation from him. Over there in Isaiah chapter 29, I'm going to read a verse for you. Isaiah chapter 29, and it says in verse 15, it says, "Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us, and who knoweth us?" Here are people who are unaware of the danger that they're in, that they're trifling with something very serious, a condition that is getting worse, and damage is being done all the time. Look at the next chapter, chapter 30 and verse 1. "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin." I wonder tonight, are you adding sin to sin? I'm not even interested in hearing any details about any other covering if it is not the covering of the righteousness of Jesus Christ and the covering of being washed in his precious blood. Nothing else means anything, because it is not a covering that is of God. But when there's not genuine desire to be born again, genuine desire to have your sin dealt with, then that is another positive step, men and women. You've heard of people in recent times, and they have both had the sense to realize that all is not well, that is good, and they've gone a little bit further than that, and they've genuinely desired to be healed. They want the situation to be dealt with. But I have to say tonight, if you stop short of repentance, as many do, if you stop short of repentance and turning from your sin, then that's not repentance. That's just self-pity. And self-pity is not something that brings us to Jesus Christ. And I have to mention that because we're living in a day of what is called easy believism. Well, so often you've heard the minister say, don't trust in your church, don't trust in the church role, don't trust in church membership, all of these things. But some people, to go beyond that, they make what is fondly spoken of these days as a commitment. Oh, I made my commitment. I remember a person telling me at the time they made their commitment on a beach in England. And I said, "Was that when you were saved?" And he just looked at me and said, "How dare you?" You see, a commitment is nothing more than a commitment. A commitment is not a work wrought in your heart that comes when there's true repentance and turning from sin. Tell me tonight, do you desire this healing? This man not only had the sense to see that all was not well and desired healing, but this man, he was very restless because of a situation. You see, so far up to this point in time, leprosy, well, for long enough it had ruined his life. It was dominant in his life, and things would get worse for him if he continued to go on as he was with his leprosy. And let me just say to you tonight, when you look back over the years and you see the power of sin, don't try to deny it. There's none of us foolish enough to deny the power of sin. When you see the heartache that sin has brought, I mentioned some of it to you a little bit earlier on without going into detail. When we realize man's puny weakness against sin, you ought to be restless. You ought to be restless because you ought to understand that sin hasn't finished with you yet. It hasn't finished with you yet. And sin, as many have found out as they went on through life, it can surprise them. It will seduce them. It can overcome them time and time and time again. It is a critical condition because sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death, and that being eternal death, separated from God forever, away from all gospel preaching for all eternity. There's no blood to be applied to your sinful heart there. It's too late when you're in a Christless eternity without the Lord. So as we look tonight at some of the details of this man's state, things were looking good because he had the sense to realize all wasn't well. He genuinely wanted to meet with the Savior here to have the thing dealt with. He was restless as he thought about it. But notice secondly, notice
his seeking of help in verse 2. It says, "And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." I want to say, first of all and foremost, that he came to the right person here. He did not go to someone looking for ointment for his sores. He'd probably been through all of that. Recognized that there was no permanent answer to be found in ointment at the root needed to be dealt with. So it is with the sinner. It's always good when people turn over a new leaf. Sometimes they say they do, and I don't believe they do. They do it for their own interest. There's nothing changed. But you know, if the root is not dealt with, sin still reigns in your heart. And the tyranny and bondage of sin is really just a time bomb that is within your soul. And men and women, you need to disregard all the gimmicks and all of these turning over of new leaves, and you need to seek the Lord. You need to seek the Lord. The Bible says he died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And whenever he comes into a life, then there will be a permanent change. Notice here, this man had a perception. You notice what it says there. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He has heard enough to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer to his physical ailment here. Remember one time way down, I think it was Kirkcoven, the garage there, for some reason or other, and this wee man climbed up a ladder, and another older man, he said, look at him, trying to climb to heaven, and then he says, you know, you can't climb to heaven. It's only the Lord can get you to heaven. I was surprised, but encouraged to hear it the way he talked to him. And you know, there are many people in Northern Ireland tonight, and they're trying. They're trying to climb to heaven. And the interesting thing is this, that sometimes when people come to a meeting like ours tonight, it's an ordinary gospel meeting, it does have some kind of an effect upon people. And people so often will go away from the meeting just as they can, but there will be that thought within their heart, well, I'm going to do something about this. Maybe I'll come back and hear him again, or maybe I'll stop, try to stop doing a certain thing that I'm doing. Well, I want to show you in Mark's Gospel chapter 6 about Herod and John the Baptist. I want to add right away that there are a few better people mentioned in the New Testament than John the Baptist. He was a good person. And John feared him. John, or Herod feared him, it says in verse 20. He reverenced him. He knew there was reality in his life. It says, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and unholy, and observed him. The word observed there means he kept him safely. And when he heard him, he did many things, and heard him gladly. And I want you to know this right away, ladies and gentlemen, that I have no interest in you doing many things. I would like you to listen gladly, but if all that you do is mighty things, then you might, or many things, then you might as well do nothing, because as far as Herod was concerned, it was all futile. He wouldn't repent. And I think there's a picture here in Herod in this passage of sin taking you further than you want to go. Maybe he thought sin had taken him as far as he could go. John had rebuked him, you see, in verse 18. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. We all know that. Now Herodias, his brother's wife, she would have had him killed, but Herod wouldn't let him be killed. But the interesting thing is this. When you read on down and Herodias' daughter danced before Herod, he was willing to have him killed for her. Now that says a lot to me of sin and what was in Herod's heart at that time. Now we know when we read there in verse 20, and the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his own sake and for the sakes of them which sat with him, he would not reject her. It doesn't say he could not reject her, but he would not reject her, because sin reigned in his heart, and his thoughts toward her were not good thoughts. Perhaps even far worse than they were regarding his brother's wife. And we have a picture here, men and women, of someone who is in a state of doing many things, but not doing the one thing that was needful. He didn't repent. He didn't repent. Why? Because sin had a bigger grip on him than he thought it had.
And it was taking him far further than he ever thought it would. It'll do the same with you. And you know something? One day, sooner or later, it will bring you to hell. It will bring you to the place where there's no gospel messages to listen to and none to reject either. But there's in his seeking here, we notice that he came to the right person. He was a man who had perception here. But look what he says to the Lord Jesus Christ whenever he spoke to him. He says, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now, you'll see here that this man has come humbly before the Lord. He doesn't come with any argument. He doesn't come presenting any merit of his own in anything that he has done, but rather he comes before the Lord in all of his need. And that's the way the sinner comes. Every man or woman or boy or girl that's in this meeting tonight, and is, if you're saved, that's the way you come. You come to the Lord humbly. And you come acknowledging your need of him. An unsaved person, if you ever come, that's the way you'll have to come. You'll have to come humbly with nothing to offer the Lord but your sin. Notice finally here then the response of Christ to this man's call for help in verse 3. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be now clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. I wonder, was that a shock for the skeptics that were round about? I know this for sure. It was a great relief to the man. But notice there, and I want you to really see this tonight, the Lord was willing right away. Look what it says. I will be thy clean. I will be thy clean. There's nothing about this man, only foulness. Because leprosy was looked upon as a foul disease. He was an outsider. He was one who had absolutely nothing to recommend him to the Lord. And right away, he said, I will. I will be thou clean. And you know, whenever we've come to gospel preaching and we said to men and women, Jesus Christ can save you, and that's what we're saying tonight, he still says, I will. If you'll come to him. There's no person who ever came to the Lord in genuine repentance and he said, I won't. But rather he said, I will. The willingness, that's what we're getting to. The willingness of Christ to work in this man's life. And what is pictured in the curing of the leprosy pictures us, for us, what he will do for those who will come and be spiritually healed. And be saved. Look what it says there. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. Now, there's very few people who wanted to touch him. There's no question about that because of his disease. But you know, whenever you think of the touch of the Lord, you think of virtue having gone out of him. You're all familiar with John's Gospel chapter 5 and verse 30. With the woman there who had the issue of blood for so long. And whenever she touched the Lord, she just wanted to touch the hem of his coat. And he turned round and he said there in John's Gospel, who touched me? The disciples were a wee bit amazed and they thought, well, Lord, who? What do you mean? There's lots of people, you know, brushing against you and so on, but he knew. He knew. What are we really seeing there? We're seeing that woman, she came and touched him by faith. By faith. And that is the thought here. This man had faith. Yes, it says that Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. I believe that in meetings like this, the Lord often touches hearts. He touches hearts. But people don't exercise saving faith. Rather, they harden their heart, as it's called, and they reject the Lord. And here's a man whose flesh was rotting, and yet he is healed. Here's a man whose sores are closed. And again, when you think of the sinner tonight, darkness envelops us as sinners. It's corruption is to be found in every area of our lives, whether we want to face up to it or not. But think of John 1 and verse 12. As many as received him, that is Jesus Christ, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. Now some here have done that, some may not have. They may not have. But I say this to you tonight. If you will come as this man did, seeking genuinely to be have your sin dealt with, the Lord says, I will. And more than that, if you come by faith, you know that saving touch from the Lord. You know that saving touch. Because his promise is, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Notice this wasn't something that he had to go home and work on. It says, and immediately his leprosy was cleansed. In modern times, even in dealing with leprosy, it's a process. It's a process. This was a miracle from the Lord. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And I want to say this to you about conversion. It's not something that you get in steps. Over a period of weeks or months, as some people may try to paddle that kind of system, but it's found nowhere in the Bible. Conversion is instantaneous. When a man comes or a woman comes and trusts Jesus Christ, resting upon his finished work, and they come to the Lord, they're justified judicially. There's nothing can be laid to their charge. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this man had peace. He had great peace. After the Lord come and the Lord touched him. And those who come and trust the Savior, they have peace. They have peace because their sins are dealt with. And as I conclude tonight, I just want to say to you that the news that I have for you is that you have no claim on him. You have no claim on him. I had no claim on him, but I had to come like a leper in humility and ask the Lord to save me. And I know this tonight, that if you too come, the Lord will save you. I want to leave this wee verse with you. It said, someone wrote long ago, I can but perish if I go. I am resolved to try. For if I stay away, I know I shall forever die. Think of those words. I shall forever die. It doesn't have to be that way. That's why we preach the gospel. So that men and women will come. And as the leper came and had his need met in Jesus Christ, I trust you will come tonight and have your need met there. Because he came to seek and to save that which was lost. May the Lord speak onto your heart and draw you to himself tonight.